Matthew chapter 28, and as you're finding your place, Kyle and Elizabeth, would you come right here, please? I like to look into the eyes of the man I'm preaching to. I understand, though, that even though this is a special service for him and Elizabeth, and this message is a charge to him, I don't want any message ever to be just to one person. And this message will apply to everyone here. Mary Beth. Your husband has a message he wants me to tell you after the service, unless he wants to tell you before I get to it. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. If I kept records right, this will be the 24th ordination charge that I've preached. And it's sort of strange, Kyle. I'm as butterflies if it was the first time I preached. By the way, that's pretty common. You know, y'all, you young fellas think that, you know, when I've done it a few years, it will be simple. No. I'm handling God's Word. And when you handle God's Word, you better be careful. And I'm standing on holy ground. Oh, by the way, that's the reason why I took my shoes off. I'm standing on holy ground. And what I preach tonight, I don't want to just preach to you two. I want to preach to my own heart. In the hearts of everyone here. In all the years I've preached and have preached ordination, and I count it an extreme high honor to be able to preach an ordination charge. People that serve God full time, and especially missionaries, are my heroes. When our girls were growing up, I wanted people that serve God to be their heroes. That's the reason why, before I ever became a pastor, when we had missionaries or evangelists to our house or to the church, we always had them to our house for a meal. I wanted them to sit around our table and talk with our family and talk with our girls. I wanted them to see that it was something that was enjoyable to serve God. Amen. It's not drudgery. It's a blessing. Amen. And tonight I want to look at this passage. It's sort of interesting. In the 24 different messages I've preached tonight, or this will be my 24th, I've never preached out of Matthew 28 at a charge. And I was just thinking this week and praying this week, and the Lord brought me to this passage and sort of almost rebuked me. Why have you not preached from this passage before? But I'd never felt led to preach from this passage before. I mean, of course, we're dealing here, and I'm going to be looking at verse 18 through 20. We're looking at what is called the Great Commission. We could call it the great charge to you, Kyle, tonight. We could call it, and by the way, this passage is not just to preachers.
Amen. Amen.
This passage is to every single Christian. It's amazing how I've heard this read, and I've heard preachers make it sound like it was only to a preacher. No, my Bible tells me in Ephesians that one of my jobs as a pastor was to prepare my members to do the work of the ministry. And therefore, this passage applies to everyone here tonight. In other words, no one here tonight has an out for not doing the work of the ministry. Three things I want to look at in this passage of Scripture. I won't waste our time reviewing them now. Let's read verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. First thing I want us to see, and Kyle and Elizabeth very pointed to you, is what I call the invested authority. Verse number 18. It says, all power, literally all authority or all right is this word. You Greek students, how many Greek students I have in here? Come on, raise your hand. All right. Two Greek words that speak to that's translated power in Scripture. One means the ability to do something. One speaks of the authority to do it with. This word speaks of the authority to do it with. Three quick thoughts about this. First of all, it says here, all power is given unto me. We see that this authority is resident in Christ. In other words, it's in Him. There's absolutely nothing that He can do to change the fact that this all power is in Him. Matter of fact, you won't find it anywhere else. It's in Him. Hebrews tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. We could go to Daniel, a number of places in the book of Daniel, and there you'll find this thought, that God ruleth in the kingdom of men. He can set one up, he can take one down. I know a lot of times I've had a lot of people, well, Pastor Kent, why do you think that God allows a wicked ruler like so-and-so to be in power? I said, to discipline ungodly people. One reason. To get other people's attention, to help turn their thoughts toward. You know, God will do all kinds of things to try to get people to meditate on truth. And sometimes he has to do a lot of strange things to get us to think about truth. But here we see that, first of all, that this authority is resident in Christ. The second thing I want us to think about is this authority is from the royal sovereign of the whole universe. Have you stopped to think lately that the God that you serve is the only God in the whole universe? Have you ever stopped to think that there's no power whatsoever that can challenge him? And I know that may throw a kink in your think, but about why does certain things happen, but you don't see everything that God sees. And what he does, you've got to accept from the hand of a sovereign God. It sure changes things. It can give you peace when nothing else does. It can motivate you to serve when nothing else does. But we see that this authority is the royal sovereign of the universe. Thirdly, we see that this authority is relegated to us. You say, where you see that? Verse number 19, go ye therefore. Notice the therefore refers back to the statement in verse number 18. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That's a pretty good expanse, isn't it? Heaven and earth. Out there where our scientists say that they cannot find an end. The Word of God said they wasn't going to find it way before they said they couldn't find it. But that's a pretty good expanse. And in between those, there's no other power. And it's relegated to you. It's relegated to me. It's relegated to everybody else that these fingers are pointing at. I think I got everybody right there. It's relegated. What does that mean? You can use it. It's available to you. The smartest, the strongest, the weakest, the most modest. It's available to every single person to use for his glory. Not to use for you, but for him. It's relegated to us. Now that's amazing that he would allow me to have access to his authority. Now what that means is this. There's not a single door out there that's closed. It's closed because he can't open if he wants it open. Now get that. Those doors are closed because he has allowed them to close for whatever. Sometimes his closed doors are disciplined upon a country that's already rejected the gospel. You know, Russia went communist and was closed for over 70 years, but they had the gospel and they rejected it. And communism swept in, took over, and then the people suffered the consequences for rejecting the gospel for that. Same thing in China. Same place in the Middle East. Get the Middle East right now, some of the most closed countries on the face of earth, and they were the first ones to have the gospel. But the authority is invested in you. Secondly tonight, look at verse number 19 and 20. Not only do we see the invested authority, but secondly, we see the instructions announced. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, there's one imperative in this section, and there's three modifiers to that imperative. Go sounds like an imperative in our English, but it's actually a modifier to the imperative, which is teach. Go, of course, the action of this go takes place before that. You can't teach until you get there. But the instructions are fourfold. The first one is go, and that means this. You must initiate the action. Over the years when I worked at Ambassador, I had all kinds of students that, you know, I'd walk down the sidewalk, and I'd say good morning to them. They wouldn't even say good morning. And what I'd do, I'd run down and get in front of them and come by them again and say good morning again. Sometime I did that three times before this. Good morning. And so after a conversation like that, I usually called him into my office and had a talk with him. I said, you know, when somebody says good morning to you, you should say good morning back. When somebody says hello to you, you should say hello back. And I hadn't had more than one student look at me and say, well, you know, my nature is I'm just quiet and I'm not outgoing. And they'd sit there and I'd sort of shock them because I'd real very loudly, I'd jump up, change your behavior. And I'd say, you're going into the ministry. You've got to learn that in the ministry, you are the one that initiates a conversation. You're the one that maintains a conversation. And you're the one that has to learn when to stop a conversation. That's a part of the ministry. And you young college students, if you don't like that, you better change or leave. Because if you don't, you don't belong in the ministry. Amen. You got to initiate. Go! That means you're the one that's initiating the action. Notice secondly, it says teach. This is the word for disciple. There's more than one Greek word for teach. You find them right here in this passage. First one is disciple. Make a disciple. That means indoctrinate with a relationship. One thing I learned a long time ago, you can't affect people if you don't have a relationship with them. A lot of fathers need to learn that because rules without a relationship always, did you hear what I said, always equals rebellion. That's true for a church. Rules without relationship will equal people leaving out through the back door. And you can't make a disciple of anybody if they don't know you love them. If they don't know that you care about them, you're willing to sit down where they're at and eat with them and fellowship with them. And it carries the idea of, I know indoctrination sounds like a dirty word, but that's exactly what this word means, to indoctrinate. In other words, what is that? Simply get the doctrine in them. And you do that with a relationship. Parents do it by living what they teach. If you don't, as parent, see, I told you this message had a lot for everybody. If you don't live in front of your kids what you teach them, they will embarrass you sooner or later with rebellion. But here, Kyle, understand, you have a responsibility to initiate action. You have the responsibility of indoctrinating others with a relationship. You can sure get a lot of doctrine into people over a meal, over a cup of coffee and a piece of cake or a piece of pie. Goes a long ways in helping people understand truth. And that's what this idea is. Now, notice what it says, teach all nations. That carries the idea of every single ethnic group. Now, in the United States of America, they're not telling how many different ethnic groups are here. But, you know, I was raised here during a time when you didn't want to reach certain ethnic groups. I never did quite understand that. I butted heads with more than one person over that. No. The gospel goes to every single ethnic group. Christ loved them and died as much for them as he did anybody else. And here we see this indoctrinate with a relationship. Then, number three, it says baptizing. Now, this is a present tense word. This is something that is continually to be done, and it's identify with God. Now, I know a lot of people, and I have said this myself, when baptism takes place, you identify with Christ. But if you notice the passage, you're identifying more than that. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're not just identifying with Christ when you're baptizing, you're identifying with the Trinity when you're baptized. By the way, they're one. They never have had an argument. They have never had a different thought. They have always been in agreement and always said amen to whatever the other one said. Now think about that. That's who our God is. And we're to identify with him. And here, that's what you're to help trend, you know, in your indoctrination through a relationship. Try to get them to identify with the person of God in everything that this book teaches that he stands for. Now, number four, it says teaching, verse number 20. Now the present tense word, something that is continually to be taking place, it means to instruct with facts. Number one, number two, number three, and so forth. Ever how many numbers there are to teach, ever how many steps there are in instruction, that's what this word means. And where would we find such a thing? Right here. You have the Gospels. You have the Acts. You have all the epistles. You have all the Old Testament. I mean, you're never going to run out of something to teach and preach here, Mr. Kyle. And you neither. To the ladies. Preach and teach to them. My wife was a good preacher. She preached to our kids. She's preached to me. The Word of God can be instructed step by step by step by step. And here we see this is the important thing. Oh, by the way, when you go and preach the Word of God, you give instruction by fact step by step. You'll find out in the end result you're going to have produced a bunch of Baptists. You said yesterday that you were going to go and produce like faith. Well, you preach this book, I promise you, you will produce Baptists. I think it's impossible to read, study, and preach the principles of this book and not be a Baptist. And I think one reason why there's so many churches dropping the name Baptist, they have gone away from this book, they've quit preaching it, and gone into all kind of strange other things. But anyway, that's free Baptist. Notice verse number 20, and we see the third thing. Kyle, you have been invested with the authority of God. You have been given instruction here to transfer to others. In verse number 20, we see what I call an interactive association. Teaching them to observe, before I forget it, that word observe means to keep or to watch over. So, yes, things are to be taught to be reproduced. Anyway, back to verse 20 now. And lo, I am with you always. An interactive association. I'm not, and you're not, when you go to Africa, you're not in this by yourself. I know, you know, wherever you and Elizabeth are, you can make home. I understand that. But this is more than that. You're going. And I know people say, well, you know, God's everywhere. That's not what this is talking about either. This is talking about an interactive. Now, the word interact, y'all understand that, right? I talk to you. If there's interaction, you're going to talk back to me. That's interaction. And here it says, and lo, I am with you. A couple of things about this interactive association. First of all, it's powerful. Now, notice who said this. Christ said, I am. That's an Old Testament claim of deity. Remember in Exodus, God told Moses, I am that I am. Now, what's interesting about this statement right here, and lo, I am, this is a very emphatic statement. What it means is it has two I's, really. I am with you. But the I am is speaking here, Kyle. This is powerful. You have the sovereign, royal, sovereign God of the universe that's making a promise to you right here. I am with you. Now, the I, as all of you know that's been in grammar classes over the year, that is a personal pronoun. I am. I don't know about you, but it sort of excites me to think that the royal sovereign of the universe would be interested enough in me that he'd interact with me. Aren't you glad that he interacts through the person of the Holy Spirit in conviction? Where would we be tonight apart from the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? I tell you where we'd be. We'd be a whole lot worse sinners than what we are. And we wouldn't be as sanctified as we are. Apart from him working in our lives. But the royal sovereign of the universe wants to be personal with me? That should cause everyone in this room, every time the Word of God pricks your heart, it should cause every one of us to want to be more obedient when we think that the sovereign of the universe is personal with me. It would be easy to think that there's a whole lot more things important in the world than me. But he's wanting to work in you. Not only is it powerful, not only is it personal, but notice back to this verse, and lo, I am with you. That little word with is quite interesting. It carries the idea of in companionship with. It means to be in company with or an association. It carries the idea of a partnership. Now, I think the Lord's getting the raw end of the deal here. If I'm in partnership with him, he doesn't have much, but if he's in partnership with me, I have a lot. But it's a partnership, Kyle. You don't have to do this alone. I mean, you can sit in a hut, or whatever you live in Liberia, and you can sit there, and the Lord will be in partnership with you. You can talk to him, and he'll talk with you. He can speak to your heart. He can lay things upon your thinking. He can tell you, get in there and apologize to Elizabeth. You shouldn't have said that. You can't keep the kissing good saying things like that. Get in there. Aren't you glad the Spirit of God is in partnership with us and can do those things? Christ here promised to be in partnership with you. But then, unto the end. This interactive association is permanent. Now, think about it. He's promised to be with us unto the end. Always. Even unto the end of the world or unto the end of the age. Now, what that tells me is this. He's going to go with me until I die. And when I open my eyes from death, I see him. I mean, there's no time when it's not permanent. Death is just the doorway to glory. You get to see the Savior's face. The wounds in his side and hands. All you've heard becomes reality. That's excitement. You have that interactive association with the Christ that died to pay your sin debt. That's pretty good, Kyle. That's pretty good, Elizabeth. You can't surpass that. So as you go to Liberia, don't forget, you have been invested with the authority of God. You have been given instruction to announce to them as it's been announced to you. And you have an interactive association with Christ Jesus. Go expecting to see souls saved. Go expecting to see a church planted. Go expecting that God would get the glory for it all. God's people said, amen. Amen.